Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
And we're rolling, Jesse. Do you want me to introduce?
ASMR.
This is probably one of the worst beginnings of a podcast. So professional. Hi, I'm Rhys Waters, and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
I'm Jesse Hurley. Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
I'm well, Rhys. What's going on in your world?
I'm
doing lots of things and stuff. I'm juggling all kinds of things. I like beef.
Me too. Do you know the best thing about beef? If you leave it on a windowsill, it rots.
That is the singular best thing about beef.
It is. That's why we grow cows.
In fact, I think that was one of the failed test slogans for the beef industry in the States.
For the Canadian Board of Beef.
Yeah, the Canadian Board of Beef. Yep. It's if you leave it on a windowsill, it rots.
Kebab.
Buy beef today.
Kebab. Canadian Board of Beef.
Oh, wow.
Kebab.
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 It's a kebab.
Hi, I'm from Kebab.
That's actually a really funny, weird coincidence. It's a kebab. You know what a kebab
it's
is.
It's almost like it was planned, but it wasn't.
It was.
Anyway, small
the
talk.
The Canadian Board of Beef.
And entering small talk time.
I kind of want to make a podcast.
My friend Ben has got a great podcast called The Beef and Dairy Network. It's a fake beef and dairy podcast. It's great. That's why we can't do a podcast about kebab, because I know someone who's already got a beef podcast,
right?
And it's really good.
What's new in your life? How are you doing?
The puppy is growing.
Oh, your puppy Rosie.
Yeah, she's growing fast. She's 16 weeks old.
She's very cute.
And
Reese will periodically send me texts of his new puppy, and it just brightens my day.
She's great. She's absolutely loves people. But she's not sure of dogs. She needs more socializing. Mm. So if someone's walking a dog, she'll just literally, you know, when dogs put their heads down and their bums up, like really kind of like, oh, hi, I want to be your friend.
Oh, yeah.
Really kind of like submissive stance of like, please be my friend.
Smell my ass.
She'll run up to the people and do that, and she'll just ignore the dog. She just wants to be around people. And she kind of, she'll just try and get on your lap and fall asleep. And I'm like, she's going to be 3 or 4 times the size she is now. And she'll still want to get up on our lap and fall asleep. And I'm
She's a golden retriever, right?
Yeah. And we're like, oh, we'll be fine with that. It's fine.
Golden retrievers are adorable because they always look like they're smiling.
They are. They're always so happy.
I don't think they are. Like, have you heard of, oh my God, it's an Australian or New Zealand, like it starts with a K and it looks like it always has this giant
grin. Yeah, you know the ones you mean, yeah.
Yeah, giant grin. And like, there's no way that it's actually happy all the time. And it's gotta be our perception of like a human face on an animal sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
We think it's happy because it looks like what a human looks like when it smiles, right?
But it's just the shape of their face.
Yeah, like that's, I'm thinking like, did animals evolve like this because they've been around humans?
Dogs
so
did.
Much?
Yeah, dogs. So humans like it when our faces are like this.
Like.
So the reason puppies are so cute is you'd never leave them behind because humans look after dogs. So the puppies are cute because you're like, oh, we got to care for these things even though it doesn't make any sense. Because that's how they've evolved. And it's like a, I guess you'd call it, it's like a...
I always wondered if cuteness factor was an evolutionary process.
It was, yeah, for dogs. Yeah. That's why dogs look cuter than wolves. Because, they evolved to look to be more appealing to humans.
That's amazing.
Dogs are way smarter than us.
Than us?
Well, we spend all the money looking after them and caring for them and talking to them in a baby voice and letting them sleep on our laps.
That's a good point. Yeah, same with cats.
You just need to evolve to be cuter, Jesse.
I'm trying. Every day.
Anyway, I got a question for you. Mm. Who causes the most terrorism in Canada?
Who what?
Causes the most terrorism in Canada.
Oh, God. Is this going to be another depressing episode?
It's a nice change from puppies.
Yeah. We're just going to... Because now and then you throw a curveball of an episode where like it's just going to be either gory as fuck... Or depressing. Sometimes both.
Or both.
Yeah. Sometimes both.
Yeah, yeah.
So who causes the most terrorism in Canada? I mean, QAnon would be too obvious. Although I don't think QAnon has ever actually caused any terrorism, have they? Directly.
Just
tell me. I'm not gonna, because like before, like as you said before, like having an entire episode of me pondering.
Yeah, yeah. Just call it Jesse Ponders. Ask him a question, you have no answer to. There's no resolution. There's more than 10 times as much extreme violence by the far right than there is by Islamist-inspired extremists.
Say this again, please.
There's more than 10 times the amount of extreme violence in Canada by the far right than there is by Islamist-inspired extremists.
Wow.
And a fair chunk of that comes from a group of people.
Terrorism?
Yeah, extreme violence and acts of terror.
Okay.
So, by far, though, a large chunk of that comes from a group known as the incels. Do you know the incels?
I know a little bit about... So, correct me if... So, hold on. Let me just see if I can remember what I was... Because I think I learned about them recently. Incels... Oh, my God. Okay. Are they
involuntary
people?
Celibate.
That's it. Thank you. Involuntarily celibate. So, like, they can't... Get laid, essentially.
No, they've either never had sex or they've not had a relationship for a long time. It's not just about sex. It's about a close relationship with another human being.
Right, and they blame other people for
this.
They blame society. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's because, you know, the opposite sex, whoever they're attracted to, it's their fault that they're not into them.
You know. No, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of sad, though, because I can see how, like, if you don't have any confidence or you've had some bad experiences and you're aggressive, you can see it's like it would snowball for some people.
I can see that. Yeah, actually, that's...
I mean, me and you are studs.
We're total. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, look at my...
We'd never be in the South.
Long, scraggly gray hair coming up. It's just so luscious. Fucking can't wait to chop
neck
this
beard.
Shit off. I have this. There's a son of one of my one of my friends, and for years he had a neck beard, and all of us would like.
Oh, no.
He was as a teenager. He was a teenager, like a young teenager, right? And he was so he could not grow a beard. He couldn't.
Just don't.
He couldn't grow a beard or a mustache, but he could grow a neck beard, and so he did. And we were all like, oh, "Dude, no! I know you're proud of this." But no, just no. And he wouldn't listen. And it was just, I'm like, what could you do? You're 14 and you got a neck beard. I'm like, okay.
I had sideburns when I was 14. I didn't feel needed for any more facial hair. I had really good sideburns that I could walk into a pub and get served because they were like, hey, he's got sideburns. I don't need ID.
Oh, that's anyway. Yeah, I mean, the whole just as an aside on the whole incel thing, I know a guy who his joke, you know, he hasn't had a girlfriend in many, many years. And
yeah.
He doesn't consider himself an incel. He's just bitter at the world. And he has this joke about, you know, how do you get a girlfriend? You know, step one, be attractive. Step two, don't be not attractive, you know, and
it's not just.
No, I know, but that's his joke. Right. But like I kind of feel like he thoroughly believes that. That's it. Like, and it's, I've actually, like, anyway, that's, yeah, I see where you're going with it. Like, it's,
I understand why people can get, if someone's just really lonely.
Like, attracting the opposite sex is a skill that you should be taught by your parents or your peers. I'm dead serious.
It's not like driving a car.
It is actually. No, it is because a lot of, hold on. Hear me out here. I know you think this is funny.
Your parents teach you how to, did they teach you pick up lines?
No. So when you wanted to, when you wanted to attract your wife, I'm kind of serious here. When you wanted to you were attracted to your wife before you started dating her, right?
Yeah.
And there were things you did in hopes to gain her as a partner.
Fireworks off.
No, seriously, what'd you do? You took her on?
No, we were set up by a mutual friend.
You were seriously set up?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so this is a bad example.
This is
a really bad example. But like,
honestly, I just think,
you know, we're taught like, okay, oh, I really want to impress this person. Let's ask them out on a date and we'll go and like, we'll go to and eat dinner and maybe we'll have some wine. Maybe I'll bring flowers. I'll dress myself up really nicely. I'll shave. Like, these are all things we do specifically in hopes that we will attract someone.
Oh, yeah, but I mean,
and we've been taught those things from movies and television, but no one's ever sat us down and say, look, some of this shit's kind of bullshit. Some of this stuff works.
I think,
but here, where I'm going with this is, it's a skill like any other, and we're trying to learn these things, and we're learning them from sometimes really bad places, right?
Yeah.
And when they don't work, right, we either blame ourselves for not intuitively knowing this knowledge from birth, right? Like, oh, I should automatically know how to attract someone, and if I don't, there's something wrong with me, or they blame society in that case, right? So like, yeah, it's, you're not born with this knowledge of how to attract a mate. You learn it somewhere, and you either learn it effectively or you do not. Yeah, yeah. Right?
I mean, but it's just, I think, be respectful, be honest about what you like and you don't like, and just if it doesn't work out, you go, fine, we're not meant to be together. And you,
that's great advice, which I agree with, but it's also advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I've got a story for you about somebody who I witnessed literally do the worst.
Yeah,
like the worst thing.
Pickup line.
Pickup line. It was they were young, and it was a film set I was working on, and they were young, and they were there like in their first time doing like a runner role on there, and they must have been about 19 or 20, and there were some younger women on the set too who were in their mid-20s, and they were quite taken with them.
These are crew members.
Cast. So
cast.
This young runner was quite taken. Cast. Yeah, a runner, as in like, you know, like an entry level job on a film set. You know.
Oh, like a PA.
Yeah, exactly. He was obviously quite taken with them and paying a lot of attention to them. This is a huge tangent.
Oh, I love it. Keep going. This is great.
And at the lunch break, he walked up to like a group of three of them and went, "I'm a professional muff diver."
Oh my God.
And they were like, "What?" And he was like, like clearly shrinking.
Right.
And then he wasn't back the next day.
Oh my God.
But I don't know. He was like a good, like 3 or 4 years younger than, barely out of his teen years. And he thought that that would work. That they go, "Really? Well, we need a demonstration." There's people like that who end up being incels because he'd probably be so traumatized by that experience. He'd go, "How do I talk to women?"
Well, see, and that's kind of my, honestly, that's kind of my point is if they're not taught by schools, by your parents, by society, anyone, right?
You need a positive role model to see.
You do. You really do, because these urges are going to be there regardless of the information you have not. And if you're not taught properly, you're going to come up with shit like that.
Yeah, if you're not, are you acting appropriately, respectfully?
Yeah.
And if you don't have anyone, how you would like to be treated.
If you don't have anyone sitting you down as a teenager and saying, "Okay, look, I know you like, you know, I know you have a crush. Let me show you how to get this person, or at least talk to them and how to do it. You know, let's just talk about it." If you don't have that going on, you're going to be a professional muff diver one day,
or wannabe. Anyway,
incels. So
now we've explained how incels happen. Let's talk a bit more.
Let's talk about it. So, okay, yeah.
You know, the incel thing is like an international thing that people talk about. They talk about
it. I didn't really do a deep dive into it.
It's a big deal in the US as well, in the UK too. A lot of Western places. But actually
kind of huge in Japan, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So the term incel was actually originated in Quebec in 1993.
I'm sorry, I just want a quick aside for the whole Japan thing. I was watching this mini documentary.
Is this anything to do with what we're talking about?
A little bit, yeah.
So there's this
woman who would go to a bar in Japan, and there's a little mini documentary on it, and she would pay to rent a boyfriend for the night, not in a sexual way, right? He would just sit with her and ask her how her day was and hold her hand while they had drinks. And then she'd go home alone. And at the end of the document, and she'd do this like several nights a week and see the same guy at the same bar who she'd rent as a boyfriend for the evening, just to be polite and sit with her and be romantic and flirty. And then that's it. That's it. No sex or anything like that. Just a rented boyfriend. And at the end, the documentarist asked her, like, "Wouldn't you prefer to have an actual boyfriend?" And she's like, no, this is fine. This is all I want." She didn't want to actually put forth the effort. And like, I don't know what was going through her head with that.
Perhaps she'd had some bad relationships and she just wanted to, like, you know, put some nice clothes on and go out and have a nice evening.
I suppose, but
without the baggage of having to take him back.
I guess. All the positive aspects of having a relationship. But just the fact that that is so common over there that businesses pop up around that?
Well, yeah, a business is supply and demand. There must be a demand.
How crazy is that, right? Anyway, sorry, please continue.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So then the whole concept of the incel originated in 1993 in Quebec.
1993?
Yeah, when a young university student known as Alana created a website to talk about her involuntary celibacy with others and called it Alana's Involuntary Celibacy Project. Oh, and on the God. Website, the term incel was used. And described as anybody of gender who was lonely, has never had sex, or who hadn't had a relationship in a long time. And now it's become, there's like an online brotherhood of men and women, but it seems to be the violence seems to come from men mainly.
I mean, yeah.
Unsuccessful in their relationships with women. They interact on forums like 4chan and Reddit. I use Reddit, but I'm not an incel, but I can imagine why it's that kind of geeky. Text-based forum almost.
I find Reddit to be one of the more reasonable places on the internet.
You're looking in all the wrong places.
Am I?
So
send me some links, man. I'm really curious.
Somebody said to me the other day, I hate Reddit people. I was like, not as much as Reddit people hate Reddit people.
Really? Yeah. I must be looking at, because I go on Reddit and someone will make a comment and then someone will argue that comment. And then the next comment will be like, oh, I was wrong. That's a really good point.
But also,
thanks.
Don't forget,
I'm thinking you will never see that
anywhere
else. But
don't forget,
it's
also anonymous. So people can say whatever they want.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you can also be kind of...
Okay, I'm glad you've only been on nice Reddit. Stay there.
I'm just saying, send me some links. I'm asking for trouble by asking you that.
There are a few public incel boards and social media platforms have, like, their own groups. But they often express extreme feelings of misogyny and hatred.
Wow.
Incels believe women owe them sex, and some of them say that some of them say that the government should sanction girlfriends and sexual encounters for people who are lonely.
That can't be true. Do
you know what?
I can't believe that a huge chunk of these people actually believe that. Like, that's. I can see that as being as like a sarcastic comment that came across on Reddit and perhaps was...
No. That's part of the... There's like manifestos that people write before they commit acts of violence.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
It's not just a rumor.
Oh, golly, Jesse. I've got some great news. We've had a fresh delivery from the ad man.
Gee whiz, Reese. Really? From the ad man?
Smell them. They're fresh.
Ads.
So in the worst cases, their online misogyny turns into violent fantasies where they encourage violence and in some cases murder.
We're talking globally or specifically Canadian?
Globally, but okay. In Canada, there's quite a few instances too. So and a lot of the time people say they're lone wolves, but they're starting to realize that there is an online, you know, like almost like a subculture now can exist remotely anywhere. You can have a culture of people who are connected online but have no physical presence
with each other.
So what they're saying is that it is actually more than that. So people weren't taking the threat seriously as well because it was like, oh, is that one who lived in his mother's basement and like was sleeping on pizza boxes? And
I mean, how
it was just they were on the internet 12 hours a day. It was, right. You know, they were going to do something stupid.
You're not going to really be that scared of
they had a neck
virgins
beard.
Out there. Honestly, you know, the neckbeard virgins.
Exactly.
That's a great name for a band, by the way.
The neckbeard virgins.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
There's a t-shirt.
But they didn't take it seriously. They didn't think it was like an organized, serious threat. But now it is actually, they're seeing it more and more as this is a
I'm starting a Reddit group, by the way.
Culture. You should.
I'm going to invite you. It'll just be you and me, the neckbeard virgins.
So before the internet, they would have just been lonely and angry. But now they're lonely and angry. And
on the internet.
They share ideas with each other.
Which is dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So this is leading to a terrorist attack of some sort in Canada, or?
A few.
Because the question was...
Yeah, so Mike Arntfield is a former police detective and criminologist.
How do you... what's his last name?
Arntfield.
Arntfield.
Arntfield. Arntfield.
Interesting.
As soon as you have a suicidal, disorientated male, all bets are off in terms of what they're capable of doing. Many are suicidal, some are homicidal, and this group has the organization to do it.
I'd sadly agree with that.
So the term incel gained more prominence in 2014 when a 22-year-old man in California killed 6 people and injured 14 before killing himself.
Jesus.
He'd written a manifesto and posted online It was called Elliot Rogers Retribution, and he said, "I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up blonde." And then he says, like a derogatory term to women, "You will see, I'm the superior one, the true alpha male." That was his speech.
Wow. Not surprising this is in the States.
So that was in California, yeah. But then on July the 31st, 2016.
We love you, America. Thank you to our American listeners. You guys are wonderful. But you know how crazy your own country is. You know it. I know you know it.
Come on. Well, I'm about to now move on to the Canadian instances.
Yeah, please.
So if you just talk down to America.
After I just...
And here's how Canada does it.
After I literally just got rid of our all of our American listeners are now leaving us in droves.
They'll stay for me.
I know, yeah. That's because they like you. Yeah. It's your accent, man. That's all it is. If you didn't have an accent, they'd...
It's like Roger Moore. Anyway, this is a sad bit. On July 31st, 2016, a man named Sheldon Bentley killed an unconscious man in an alleyway in Edmonton. He was convicted of manslaughter, and he stomped on his abdomen because he was frustrated with being an involuntary celibate for 4 years.
He stomped on...
He was angry at the world, and he saw the opportunity to just stamp somebody to death.
Jesus.
Which he did. And 2018, Alec Minasian drove a van into pedestrians in Toronto, killing 10 and injuring 16.
That was an incel?
That was an incel. His Facebook account said the incel rebellion has already begun.
Jesus.
And then this was last year, May 20th of May. A man wielding a machete went into...
Oh, my God.
He went into, I think it was a beauty parlor, and murdered, has murdered one person, injured two others, and he was 17 years old.
Oh my God.
So yeah, incels.
That's horrifying.
It's very easy to make fun of them, but they're a very serious thing. And my question is, how do we fix it? And I think it is quite easy. Like you were talking about, helping people develop healthy relationship skills.
Yeah. Talk to your kids about dating.
Consensual kind of interactions with other
humans.
You've
got these, you're going to have these feelings. Don't ignore them. Learn about them.
And coach somebody through it so that they go, I said something and they laughed at me and the night was over and I was humiliated. You go, well, that's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Talk it through.
Yeah, I think it's so easy for people to go down that rabbit hole of like losing their confidence and then just being angry at the world because
it's interesting. Like, there's talking about the person I was mentioning before who was like, step one, be attractive. Step two, be don't be not attractive, which is funny, but also not true.
No,
and the difference, like from what I've been taught, when it comes to, in my example, a man trying to attract a woman, men and women are very different. And women are, as I've come to learn it, kind of emotional masters, whereas men are kind of not in that regards.
I don't know, because I don't think it's as easy as that.
It's not. No, I'm simplifying. I could go into a really deep dive into this stuff.
I think you're, but like, statistically speaking, there's more things some like people are hardwired to do.
I guess where I'm going with this is as to attest to the attractiveness of the physical attractiveness of yourself, right? Which is a thing. We can't deny that that's a thing. But it's not the only thing that matters, right?
No. And I think people get caught up on that.
They really do. And part of what I was saying is like part of attracting someone else is making them feel stuff, right? And that comes from your personality, that comes from your storytelling, that comes from your acts of kindness, that comes from a huge range of things can make the person that you're attracted to feel things, which can build attraction. And this is where like your physical attraction comes from. If you are naturally physically attractive, just one of those, you're just very lucky people in this world that happen to be like a, star-studded kind of good looks, that also can make people feel things. Yeah. And so we get caught up on that, thinking that that's the only fucking thing. But
yeah,
walk
into a room and everyone goes, who are they? And they might be horrible on the inside.
They might be
physically attractive, but so unattractive on the inside that they're just so toxic and they'll ruin your life.
Which, again, is a way to make people feel things. Not great things, but it does make them feel things, which can bizarrely attract. We're not saying go that way. But, I've seen, one of my, I won't mention names, of course, but, one of my friends was, and this was actually before the pandemic, a couple of years before the pandemic, he got so big, so immensely, immensely fat, and kind of like just didn't take, he was like, just did not take care of himself. And during that year, he managed to attract and date some of the most attractive women I have ever seen in my life. And it just goes to show, man, like it's not just
personality.
It's everything. It's everything. It's all about, you know, what can you make the person you're attracted to feel? And that can build attraction. And yes, physical attraction is one of those things. Like how good you look can be one of those things that can make them feel something, but it's not the only thing.
It's like part of a package.
Huge
of many
package.
Things.
Yes. And if you get caught up on that one thing, that television and Instagram and all that kind of forces down your throat, making you think it's the only fucking thing, incels exist.
But you know that the people who are like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend because I'm not attractive, or I don't think I'm attractive. Mm. But you know that the only kind of girls that they will go and hit on are ones that they are conventionally attractive. Like,
yeah.
They'll only go and like drop one-liners to specific women who they kind of deem, and then are not, they've got a very narrow view of who they should be dating.
Right.
So it means then that they go for this very like ridiculous high risk, what do they call them? Not one-liners. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Pickup lines.
Pickup lines. You do that kind of, you know what I mean? They'll just approach people, because if you're attracted to someone based on how they look, then you're just going to approach people in public who you just go, oh, they're attractive, I'm going to go and try a pickup line on them, which is not a really good way.
It's not a great
way of meeting people.
Pickup lines are awful. I've heard some fantastic
ones,
which I will not share on the show.
I don't know anyone who ever would. I just don't understand it.
No, they're not. I mean, no. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's we were taught that we just got to get a good pickup line, and like, no, that's not how it works. It's not.
Or even like just go out there and pull some moves on the dance floor. That might not work either.
As for me.
I'm really grateful though that I met my wife before online dating really existed.
Yeah, online dating.
It looks horrible.
Online dating is horrible in so many ways. Oh my God. I'm glad you
Every time
you
hear people talk about Tinder, I'm like, oh, thank God.
It's awful.
Thank God I've never experienced.
It's truly awful. It really is. Yeah, in so many different ways.
Because again, that doesn't exactly train people to look deeper into someone. It's like swipe, swipe, swipe. That's not a...
Yeah. Well, I actually read a blog on the phenomenon of online dating and how it's not helping things. Like if you are afraid to approach, the people you're attracted to, whoever that is. And so you go online to do online dating because that's what you're like, that's where people go. That's what you're told and taught. That's how you do it. And like the essay on, it was about Tinder and like all the other online dating profiles and platforms and how like, it's programmed to basically serve mainly women, and it's just for the most objectively attractive people out there, and everyone else suffers and people pay for it. It's just like it's the worst place to date possibly, and we're taught that that's where you need to go. But if you think about it, that means that if you learn how to respectfully and consensually and approach people in real life, right, and try to make a connection with someone in real life, you will have so intensely so much less competition. It's insane because everyone else is doing it online.
But also as well, it'd be like people coming up, like say you were in a bar and you just started chatting to someone casually because they like the same drink as you already.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a great conversation and stuff like that. Their friends would go, that's weird. You're going on a date with someone you didn't meet online.
Right, yeah, right.
How do you know who they are? It's like, it's much safer to meet people off the internet you've never met. What kind of a weirdo?
Oh God,
talks to you in person.
I've done it. I've done the online dating thing, and it is horrible because, like, it's all the best photos. Nobody ever looks like their photos ever. It's just not even me. I don't ever look like me. It's like just, right. Nobody looks like their photos because they all put their best photos out there, right? And they've all been photoshopped and colorized. And then you talk online for a little bit in little bit bursts, and then if you finally, after however long, decide to go on a date, you go on a date, and then you're meeting them in person for the first time. So this is the first time you're sensing their energy. You're getting a read of their body language, their facial expressions, their voice tone. All of this stuff is massive. Did you know that's like 90% of 10% of communication is verbal. 10%.
90% is psychic.
90- Yep. <Yeah. laughs> That's right. The rest is voice tone and body language. Well, that's true. By the like facial expressions, body language, and voice tone.
Well, if you're not making
90%,
if you don't make an eye contact, you might be saying all nice things respectfully. But if you don't make eye contact with someone, it's very like disconcerting.
So, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, after meeting them online and then I meet them in person, it's like going on a blind date because I'm meeting who they really are for the first time every time.
Hiya, Jesse. It's me. I'm your date. Do you want to go to Wendy's?
Has that ever happened to you?
Exclusively. That's the only type of date I get.
I want an XL Bikinita. Do you want to share my milkshake?
Am I dating a leprechaun? Like, what is
this? Instead of doing a Welsh accent.
That's what a Welsh accent sounds like.
Do you like the Fast and the Furious films? They're my favorite.
Is that ever happened to you?
I take it back. I wish you had gone on an online dating because I think you'd have just killed it.
Do you want to know who the number one comedian in the world is? Adam Sandler.
She says with a mouthful of Baconator. Okay, so call to action.
teach your children how to express their feelings in a healthy way and build relationships based on mutual respect and affection.
Yeah, honestly, like teach your kids how to talk
and
to
Instagram.
Talk to your kids about how to talk to their crush. Talk to them. How to talk to their crush without telling them they're a professional muff diver. Because that's what will happen if you don't talk to them. And you can't ignore this problem. It's happening.
Like, and also, it is happening. And also as well, like, let them know that being rejected is fine.
Oh, totally. Just,
because they're not the only person in the world. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and they will find the right person.
Yeah, I mean, if you gotta work at it, but you can't just wait and expect for it to fall on your lap, right? It's like anything. You gotta put forth effort, but like, yeah.
Well, yeah, you gotta.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Interesting tidbit about why rejection sucks so much. Okay. And this is a theory that's been brought up by, I've learned this.
Apart from the fact it hurts.
Physically hurts. Yeah. Physically hurts. Okay. And it's true. They've discovered that the part of the brain that is associated with social rejection. Okay, is directly tied to physical pain, which is amazing. And on that note, by the way, and this is also fucking true, and how insane is this? Because they've discovered that's true. If you are experiencing heartache, you can help that by taking a fucking aspirin.
That's nuts.
Yes.
That's great. So it's like, hi, can I buy you a drink? No. Oh, my dick! Do you have an aspirin? It's the future we're trying to avoid.
Holy fuck, Reese. I'm glad you met your wife at a young age. You didn't have to date a lot.
Okay. I'm very lucky.
You are lucky.
Very lucky.
What I was going to say, though, that wasn't the interesting tidbit, although that is an interesting tidbit, I find. The reason we are so, again, theory, and I heard this, is that from tribal, like many, 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 many hundreds of years ago when we were living in tribes all around the world. Right.
I think it was probably thousands of years.
Thousands of years. Yeah, right.
Hundreds of years ago, we were still living in houses.
Yes. Thousands of years ago when we were living in tribes all around the world, maybe not, you know, depending on where, there was a hierarchy. Okay. There was, I don't know, the tribal leader. And I don't know if it was, if the polyamory was a thing or if it was more, what's the word where like the one person's seeing or sleeping with multiple people, what is that?
Polygamy.
I think that was the thing.
Swingers.
Not back. I don't think they called themselves swingers back then. Okay. Right. So, like in that hierarchy, right? People of power in the tribe might be sleeping with or seeing multiple women.
Yeah.
Right. And so, if you as a man wanted to found yourself attracted to a woman in your tribe, if the tribe was big enough, right? And you hit on. Is probably the weird term to use for thousands of years ago. No.
You're talking about lions.
I'm not talking about lions. I'm talking about people.
Okay.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's lions and have loads of... I know Disney tried to make it seem like lions practice monogamy, but...
No, it's... So, like, if you hit on the wrong woman, and that woman was...
Oh, she's part of the entourage.
She's part of the entourage, right? You could get... And, like, it's, you know, of course, in today's social culture, it's horrible to talk about that stuff as if it's okay to do whatever. But this is, we're talking thousands of years ago, stuff that actually happened. Whatever. Fuck off if you're from the extreme far left. Stop crying.
Why would the far left cry?
That's what they do, man. They cry and they scream and they get really angry.
I know, but everybody does.
No. The far right cause violence. The far left get really angry.
They also cry. They also cause violence.
Do they?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, joking. The far right also cry and scream.
The funny thing is that no one will get offended when I say that because no one will identify themselves as the far left who cry and get scream and angry.
No, and I'm a communist libertarian, right? Yeah. Apparently. Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, commie leftist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, stop being so individual yet united with your fellow man.
So anyway, just to finish the story, you can cut that out if you want. If you were to hit on a woman in the tribe who, and you didn't know part of the hierarchy, if they were part of, you know, a larger, whatever.
Yeah.
You could get exiled as a punishment.
Okay.
Exiled. And exiled in those days.
Does sound like lions.
Yeah, I mean, you might be eaten by lions, but in those days, it meant death. That meant almost certain death. You are now alone in the wilderness. By yourself. The way you lived as a human back then was in numbers, right? So for thousands of years, we have developed an instinctual code in our brain that tells us that if we hit on the wrong woman, it could literally equal our death. Our death. But we will die.
It could also, that could still happen. They could.
I mean, it's really rare. No, I'm just saying
I know you mean the evolutionary cause of it.
The intense fear that men experience on the idea of attracting a woman comes from a very real place.
I got an idea. Why didn't they just wear name badges so everybody knew?
Yeah. Can we go to this whole lion thing you were talking about?
It just sounds like what lions do.
You have you don't even know. You literally just picked an animal out of the kingdom.
No, lions have like one alpha male and then the...
And they just sleep with whoever they...
And then other males come and challenge them.
Oh, wow.
To be like the king. And then your brother causes your death. By pushing you off a cliff. And
right.
And then your child has to go and eat insects with a warthog and a meerkat. And then you have to come back and defeat your uncle and the hyenas to avenge. It's pretty much...
No, please keep going.
It's just science.
I'm really glad that you're... Yeah. Yeah, we should do more Disney movies like documentaries. I think that's...
It would, yeah, I is this documentary I saw once about lions? There's a really cool documentary about a woman as well. Really long hair and she lived in a tower.
Oh, that's great.
My favorite one, though, is about what happens when you're not around toys.
Yeah. I'll call about caught by security cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that one called?
The Amazing World of Toys Story.
Yep. Well, this is an intensely long episode.
Yeah. Enough about my documentaries.
Yeah. Talk to your kids. And don't be a dick.
Build their confidence up. And help them form healthy relationships.
Let them know that if they get rejected, they won't die. They won't literally die.
No, they won't. They will.
But their ancestors would have. No.
The ancestors would have, but...
No, their ancestors didn't. Because if they did, they wouldn't exist. That's how that works.
I don't know. But anyway, whatever.
I'm fairly certain if their ancestors died, they wouldn't exist. You've seen Back to the Future, like...
I don't know. It's too confusing.
Back to the Future?
No. Back to the Future makes total sense.
Okay.
Ah, oh, my legs are faded off a picture. That makes sense. Anyway.
Money! Money! My legs are faded off a picture!
Should have seen his face when he did that.
Mama! Hoverboard. Party.
Anyway, enough.
We should do a podcast where we're both Doc Brown.
Doc and Doc. Or Doc and the Doctor. Doc Brown and Dr. Brown.
I'll be Doctor. You be Doc. I bought uranium from the Libyans. Oh, my God.
Anyway, enough about buying uranium from Libyans. We'll see you soon. This is a great show about Canadian politics.
Great Scott. Great Scott.
That's the worst impression.
That's horrible.
Anyway, bye everyone.
Bye.